Blog Talk Radio.
Conversations with the Queen, where we value a conscious and holistic approach to life and self-improvement. We often focus on a psychological, spiritual, and emotional balance, but we discuss any and everything that pertains to bettering ourselves. So on today's show, we will be discussing cultural tourism, the 21st century model of success, and why black youth must travel with Derek Rouse. But before we get into that, I would like to invite you to visit conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com. That's Conversations with the Queen, everything as is spelt, .blogspot.com, where you can catch exclusive articles and information that pertain to the show. Also, don't forget that if you miss a show, you can always check us out on the archives here on blogtalkradio.com/poeticenergynetworkstation. Also, check out our fan page on Facebook and our group on Facebook, Conversations with the Queen, and that's facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. For all my queens out there, while you're on the net, be sure to check out our newest blog, thequeendompost.blogspot.com. The Queendom is a movement dedicated to uplifting the first teachers and the classroom, the women. So it's time to bring back greatness by uplifting the queens. All right. And our monthly yoga sequence is actually the Ma'atka sequence, which was given to us by Brother Yasir, who we had on previously speaking on Kemetic Yoga, which is going to be featured on the Conversations with the Queen fan page and the group. Thank you to Brother Yasir for choosing it. And don't forget to check him out on facebook.com/Kemetic Yoga. And that's KEMIETICYOGA. And that's Kemetic Yoga as it's spelled, or his website, Yoga Skills, YOGASKILLS.com. All right? Now, I have one little last announcement before I get into the affirmation and bring Brother Derek on the show, and that is that Facebook has recently changed its event invite policy, and I can no longer invite all my Facebook friends to any future events. So if you would like to stay in touch with Conversations with the Queen, just or get onto the Conversations with the Queen email reminder list, either inbox me through Facebook or email me at conversationswiththequeen@hotmail.com. That's Conversations with the Queen, everything spelled correctly yet again, @hotmail.com. And you'll be put on the email reminder list. And that's a great thing to get on, because sometimes people tend to forget, you know, when we're going to be on, and that's every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I want to make sure that you're able to access us and, you know, get in touch with us whenever you need to get in touch with us. And for everybody who's new to the show, the call-in number during the last portion of the show where we'll be taking questions is 917-932-8881, and you'll be able to come on and raise your hand and ask a question that pertains to the subject matter. All right, so I'll get into our affirmation, then I'll bring Brother Derek on. This is the last time I'll be saying this ancestral affirmation for Black History Month. From the depths of my consciousness, I rise to meet my ascension, both here in the physical and in the spirit. Let my mind be open, clear, and diligent to receive the words given to me by my ancestors in all forms that it may come. I honor them, as they are delighted to see me in my journey of growth and love. All power and blessings be to our mighty ancestors who have laid the foundation upon which we stand. Ashe. And that's a powerful ancestral affirmation that you can find on conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com. Everything as it's spelled again. The wonderful articles and everything on there. So you should probably go over there and check that out. All right. Without further ado, we'll bring Brother Derek on. And Derek, are you on the line?
Hey, peace, everybody. What's going on?
Peace. Glad to have you on. You know, it's been a long-awaited thing, and, you know, we're just definitely happy to have you on Conversations with the Queen.
Oh, of course. It's definitely an honor to be on your show. I mean, I've definitely been trying to get on for a minute, so I'm glad you were able to reach out to me.
Exactly. You know, especially, you know, for Black History Month, I felt that it was imperative to have a beautifully articulate and bright young brother such as yourself to come on the show and share what you have to share with us.
Oh, I appreciate it. You know, definitely a queen like yourself, you know, you understand what it means to be articulate and beautiful at the same time. So I just hope I can, you know,
thank you.
Keep up with you.
Thank you. Thank you. So, you know, give our listeners a little bit of insight as far as who you are, what you deal with, and, you know, what we'll be speaking about.
Okay. Well, basically, I'm someone who is pretty much well-traveled. My mom was a travel agent for about 20 years. She's done corporate travel and she's done group travel for, roughly around 20 years. So I kind of got the travel bug early, like when I was around, I want to say like around 9 or so. I've been to about 12 different countries, including Ghana, parts of Brazil, Puerto Rico, where else? Caribbean, various parts of the Caribbean island. So I definitely know what it means to see different cultures for how it is, as opposed to what the American media tells you how it is. And you know, basically, I started everything that I'm doing, you know, to kind of continue the legacy of what my mom instilled upon me with these different experiences. Because, you know, being a travel agent has its perks. You know, you get buddy passes. You know, you get discounts on hotels. So I mean, it's like if you're going to take a 5-star vacation somewhere and you can bring the child for like half off or for free, I'm like, hey, I got no complaints. So I am 23 years old. I am a social entrepreneur, I like to call myself, which is a someone who is defined as the triple bottom line, as my mentor Russell Hicks likes to say. It's the triple bottom line in terms of profit, but also in terms of people. You know, you find the value in people as much as you do anything else. And I am a travel agent, and my organization is called Mayotte International. Mayotte is the Kemet goddess of justice, righteousness, order, truth, balance, and reciprocity. And I chose her name because that's everything that I pretty much stand for, and that's everything that I like to see in our young brothers and sisters, especially the youth.
Exactly. So, you know, I feel that that's an imperative thing that's missing out of our culture. A lot of young, especially black youth, we're not exposed to a lot of different types of cultures. And I was fortunate enough, even though my mother wasn't a travel agent, she sure liked to, expose me to different types of cultures, whether it be through, like, the food and going to different types of restaurants and being around different people from different nationalities. And I grew up in a pretty diverse neighborhood. And me, myself, my father is actually from the continent, and then my mother being from here. So I experienced different cultures growing up. And it's definitely an enlightening experience, and it does help to give you a different view or perspective on the world than somebody who has only dealt with the American or Western standard of life or living and culture. So it's definitely something that's needed, and it's definitely a great thing, a great topic to get into. So, you know, would you like to get into what a holistic worldview is? Because that is something that I took a quote from, you know, the information that you gave me to put up on the blog site. So pretty much, you know, just get into that. What's a holistic worldview?
Okay. Well, basically, a holistic worldview is not always somebody who has knowledge, but somebody who actually has the experience. So that's one of the things that we get too caught up of, is the fact that, you know, we think that, you know, we are somewhat superior, especially as Americans. We think we're so much superior to everybody because we have great academic schools and we can learn about different cultures from a book. But if you ask somebody, you know, had they ever been to this place that they read about, then they, you know, kind of like, you know, it's all different types of excuses, especially since the fact that most Americans, about 64% of them, don't even have a passport. So a cultural and a holistic worldview is really somebody who has sound academic scholarship, like a lot of our scholars do and have and or continue to get, but also somebody who can see the culture and experience the culture for what it is, like I said, for what it is and not for what other people try to tell you it is. See, one of my major issues that I have within the African-centered community is the fact that, you know, a lot of them that have all these degrees or a lot of them that have, like, street scholarship, I mean, there's no one way for you to really learn anything. I mean, you can definitely be self-taught. I mean, I'm pretty much self-taught. But you can be self-taught and you can go through a degree program. But one of the problems that I have is the fact that a lot of people don't even ask, you know, the people that they study. They don't ask them their history, you know. Like, they don't ask the actual African what is his history. They don't ask the Haitian what is his history. They don't ask the black Brazilian what is their history. You know, they just, they either read a book or they go to a restaurant and kind of, you know, pick up on, you know, certain conversations and stuff like that, you know, and then all of a sudden they think they're a scholar on a certain subject of what they're trying to talk about. So, again, like a holistic worldview is something that is not centered on the, well, for one thing, it's not centered on the white supremacy worldview. That's number one. Number two, it's a holistic approach in terms of knowledge, in terms of experience, but also in terms of appreciation for who you are. You know, you have to be able to know yourself as, you know, whatever nationality you may be, or if you don't know, to at least understand who you are in your ancestry. So, like you said, your father is from the continent, and I believe you say you were you're Cape Verdean, right?
Yep, Cape Verdean. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, you as somebody who's being from Cape Verde, you don't just know your African American history. You know that side. You know your Cape Verdean side and your father being from the continent. You know that side of your history. So you have different perspectives of how you see certain things. You know, it's not centered on, you know, like the television or the television, you know, just focusing on war and focusing on poverty and focusing on drug trafficking and stuff like that. You have a more holistic way you see things because you can see them from a positive side and also from a negative side. And that's basically what a holistic worldview is. It's seeing things from a positive side and a negative side and being able to weigh the options and understanding how things are from a historical aspect, but also seeing how things are from a cultural aspect and how it all links up to you overall.
Exactly. Yes, yes. And it definitely, like you said, though, that's a key part of understanding and wisdom, actually, which adds to that knowledge, is the experience. And, you know, there are a lot of people lacking it. Like you said, there's nothing wrong with being self-taught, and there's also nothing wrong with going to a university or acquiring degrees. But it's also something to be said for somebody who experiences different cultures, who sees the world in different perspectives. I mean, and sometimes it's not even just about kids who've traveled around the world or been outside the country. It's like some children have never been outside of their state, or young adults have never been outside of their state. And
I know
it's
people,
like,
I know people in Philly who haven't even been on a train. You know, that's how bad it is amongst our youth.
Yeah, exactly. And that creates a whole fragmented mindset. And I actually talked briefly about this on the show we did with Brother L, on how that actually fragments a certain aspect of their mind, and they're not able to relate to other things outside of what they're familiar with. And I believe it was Brother Bobby Hemmett who talked about how those types of things actually lower your consciousness and trap you and lock you down in a lower aspect of consciousness, because a part of that consciousness is your senses. So it's seeing things, tasting things, touching things, smelling things. All these different types of experiences actually help you to broaden your awareness and broaden your consciousness. So, you know, it's definitely something to be said for that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, as far as, I believe you also touched on a point of rites of passage and dealing with that, dealing with writing off of the black, the back of that.
Yeah, well, basically because traveling is, and more so talking about a rites of passage for African Americans, especially the youth, culture tourism, you know, which is what I spend it on, not, you know, traveling, but culture tourism is more so a new age, like say, I call it, it's like a new age way of rites of passage, because, you know, what when you think of a rites of passage, it's something that is usually defined as, you know, in like a religious aspect, it's defining you who you are as a man who you are as a boy going into manhood, or who you are as a girl going into womanhood. And that's usually marked in like a lot of religions as some type of cultural ceremony or some type of scarification process. I mean, that's not in all cultures, but sometimes they, you know, some cultures do that. And, you know, with traveling, I see it more so, especially in the United States, as a mental rites of passage, because you have to, I mean, let's face it, you have to be able to have fortified courage to be able to go on a plane, especially if you've never even been on a plane, and go to either another state or another country. I mean, that in and of itself is an experience, because I can tell you the first time I went on a plane, I was scared as hell. But it wasn't so much, you know, just being on the plane. It was more so my anxiety of being on the plane. So, I'm thinking to myself, oh, you know, this plane is so big. You know, I'm like, you know, 13 years old, you know, 12, 13, however old I was, like 9 when the first time I actually got on a plane. But, you know, it's basically, you know, that anxiety and also that fear that kept me locked down in terms of not wanting to travel at all. But, like, the way you overcome it is by facing it, as you know, as the cliche says. But it's true, though, because when I first got on the plane, you know, I'm sitting in my seat, I'm fidgeting, I'm sitting next to my mom, you know, I'm looking at her, you know, kind of nudging her to kind of, you know, say, can you ask the stewardess, can you give me a drink or something like that, you know, kind of calm my nerves or something. But ultimately, when the plane started to take off, you know, I was still a little nervous, but when it first takes off, it goes about 150 to 200 miles per hour before it actually lifts off. And, you know, it was in that moment where I realized, like, oh, this is kind of fun. It's like being in a race car and stuff like that. And then, like, as it lifts off, you know, it pretty much, you know, leaves the ground, you know, in a very speedy way. So you see people, you know, like as ants pretty much. And then you're like, you're so astonished by that, you know, by that experience. It's like, wow, you know, these people are like ants down here. It's like, I can't believe I'm this high up.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in terms of, like, a rites of passage program, it's basically combining the culture combined with the traveling to get that holistic worldview, which we talked about. So it's understanding who we are as African Americans and as Africans, you know, or Moors, you know, as we like to say. You know, as a holistic global people, because we are a global people, and we've always been a global people. There's nowhere on this planet where, you know, the so-called scholars, you know, in these Caucasian universities go to, but they don't find us. You know, they keep finding older bones and older bones and older bones of us. You know, is nobody else but us. So to be able to explain that to our youth and understand that, you know, we were everywhere on the planet before we were nowhere in the ghetto is something that I stress highly, and to just be able to use that into a program to condition their mindset and to condition their emotions, and more so to condition their sensory, like their nervous system. So every time they think about traveling, they get excited as opposed to just anxious.
Sure.
Because when you get anxious, basically being anxious is the fear of something that didn't even take place yet. So, of course, you know, dealing with the laws of attraction, you always are going to attract what you are thinking for the most part. So, to be able to condition them and to think that traveling and going to Africa or going to Brazil and seeing the black indigenous people down there, or going to places like going to places like Puerto Rico and the Caribbean islands and seeing the indigenous people and how they live and stuff like that. We have to condition them in terms of a positive mindset. So, because we have to understand that these people are our family. That's all it is. We just, as you know, Nas and Damian Marley said, you know, distant relatives. That's all we are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Definitely. And it looks like we already have a caller on the line with their hand raised. So I'm going to bring them on and let them ask their question or comment. Caller from the 202 area code, do you have a question or comment? What is your name and where are you calling from?
Peace. My name is Sharif Ali. I'm actually calling y'all right now from Brazil.
Brother Sharif,
doing?
What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Dick?
Do you have a question or a comment?
Really just listening. You know, if it's okay, I'd just like to add on to what Derek was saying. I agree. Definitely when he was saying that it's important for everybody to get out and see the world. I think it's really important for people to widen their perspective, even with what he was just saying about the law of attraction. If you can widen your perspective and begin to see yourself as a worldly person who has the whole world, you know, is like is your oyster, as they say, instead of placing those limits on yourself. I mean, that's so important. The more you get out and actually do and experience for yourself, you know, the more powerful you can become. And that's really key, like experience. That's the whole reason we incarnate here, is, you know, to capture an experience for the creator. So that's really important. We're not just supposed to look stuff up on Google. We're actually supposed to get out and do something.
Yes, and if you're going to look something up on Google, look for the lowest airfare prices so you can travel and get that experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing your comment. Do you have any other comments or questions or anything else you would like to add to the conversation?
What he was just saying about the rites of passage, I think that's really key, especially with, we tend to look to Africa as our origin, but the whole world is ours. And right here in the Western Hemisphere, in Bahia, Brazil, this scene is the soul of Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like the seat of Afro-Brazilian culture. And, I mean, it's just amazing actually being here. It's like, you know, this is Africa. I mean, if you actually look at it on a map, you can see how like that part of South America actually fits into Africa like a jigsaw puzzle, like maybe before the continents drifted apart. And it's like a mecca for people who, anyone who's into capoeira. There's so much here, right here. There's a lot of African Americans who know about this place and come here and visit, but at the same time, it's like a secret. You know, nobody knows. When you think of Brazil or South America, people think of Rio and other places like that. But there's, like, an amazing place right here that you actually have to see and witness, you know, for yourself to believe. It's unbelievable. Incredible.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned that it's like Africa, because I was actually watching a film that I can't remember the name of it right off the top of my head. Black Orpheus, I believe that's the name of the film. Yeah, and I was watching that film, and when I was watching the footage of Brazil, I was thinking, like, oh, my God, this reminds me so much of Cape Verde, just, like, the whole feel of it, you know, because the Portuguese aspect of it, too, the Portuguese colonized Brazil, and then the Portuguese colonized Cape Verde, and so the Brazilians and Cape Verdeans, we have a lot of cultural commonalities, and so it was just like looking, I'm like, oh, my God, it's like looking at home. It really has that ambiance. It definitely does. So, it's, you know, you make a valid point when you do feel and you look at it, it does feel like, you know, and look like Africa. So, definitely, definitely great point. So, thank you for coming on, brother, and sharing your comments and your questions. You're always welcome to come back. Remember that Conversations with the Queen is on every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Come back again, share with us, and, you know, let us know how everything, you know, went with your little trip and stuff. And all of that. All right. Well, thank you, brother, for being on the show.
Yeah. All right, peace. Definitely appreciate you calling in.
Peace. We do have another caller with their hand raised. Caller from the 111 area code. You are on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any questions or comments?
I'm not sure if that's me, but...
Yes, it is you.
Okay, thanks very much.
Peace, brother. Peace.
Derek, this is Greg from San Diego.
Oh, peace, Greg. What's going on?
Happy to be listening to the show for the first time and happy to be hearing your voice for the first time.
Yes, most definitely. I appreciate you calling in. This is a travel expert right here.
Okay.
I wouldn't go.
Just like Brother Sharif. That's what I'm saying. Hopefully everybody that calls in is, you know, somewhat affiliated with me, so I can just say, you know, all these people right here are my partners, you know, so basically they my family, so...
A very small bit of background on me. I publish and am the senior editor of a travel blog entitled I'm Black and I Travel. And my whole point of emphasis is to encourage African Americans of all ages, young, old, and middle age, to get out and see more of the world that we are a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I work on pretty much 24/7. Yeah, I love the theme of cultural tourism because that's almost all that I'm about. And it can really be a challenge when you work on this from the perspective of our community, particularly when you're looking at Africa. I cover quite a few travel trade shows in different parts of the country, especially out here on the West Coast where I am. And you will find a lot of interest in Africa, but the problem is when you go to the providers and you see what kind of travel, what kind of tourism they're providing in the African nations, it all comes down to one word, and I know Derek has heard this time and time again, safaris.
Mm-hmm.
And I am fighting like an uphill battle trying to get folks to realize that there is so much more to the mother continent than just safaris.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a whole, you actually have multiple cultures, multiple cultural environments up and down the length of the continent. You've
mm-hmm.
got music, you've got food, you've got all manner of creativity, you've got a whole fashion scene over there that is
mm-hmm.
on a par with anything in the rest of the world. You have multiple genres. You have so much music going on over there that we never get to hear on our homogenized radio here in the United States.
Oh, of course, yes. Mm-hmm.
An awful lot of filmmaking going on. The second most active filmmaking nation in the world is Nigeria right now.
Yep, Nollywood. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. But how many of our folks here are even aware of that?
Yeah.
So that there's just so much out there waiting for us. We just have to get away from our fears and go out and experience it.
Yes, definitely true. Well, I'd like for you to give out the contact information to your blog site and give you a shout-out, and I'll actually post it on my blog site so people can make sure to visit you.
I appreciate that very much. The name of the blog is just exactly like it sounds. You can run a search for it on Google, and it will come up immediately. It is I'm Black and I Travel. If those who want to go by the URL, it's I am, the word black,
mm-hmm.
the letter N, the letter I, and the word travel.com. People can also email me at greg@iblacknitravel.com.
Okay. And I'll drop that in the chat for everybody who's in the chat and is interested in checking the brother out. Thank you for taking out this time and calling in. And you're welcome to come back anytime.
Thank you very much. And keep up what you're doing. It sounds like you've got an outstanding radio show going. I hope to hear more of it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Peace, brother.
Peace to you. Take care.
Peace.
And that is, again, I'm Black and I travel.com. So we do have one more caller with a hand raised, and that's the caller from the 845 area code. You are live on Conversations with the Queen. Where are you calling from, and what is your name?
Hi, this is Avita calling from New York City. Hey, Derek.
Hey. Shout out to No Madness Travel Tribe.
I told you that I would. I told you I kept my word. Just a background for some of the people. My name's Avita. Some people call me Evie. I have a website, nomadnesstv.com. I am the host and face of No Madness TV, which is a web travel series that I started while I was living abroad, as well as the founder of the No Madness Travel Tribe that both Greg, shout outs to Greg, and Derek are a part of. So it's ironic. The first time I get to hear both of your voices tonight, I was like, all right, this is kind of cool. I wanted to chime in on something that actually, Greg, you both have brought up. One of the things that I fear always comes up, and this is, you know, the culprit of a lot of people not going for any of their dreams, whether it's travel or, you know, something else. But one of the things that I really wanted to bring to the attention, and something that I really pushed through with the kind of like urban appeal of No Madness TV, is the fact that there's also nobody on a bigger platform that really is seen as the face for a lot of these, you know, whether it's youth, young adults that haven't left their city, that haven't left their block. In my case, I live in the Bronx, New York, and there's a lot of kids here that haven't left their boroughs. So when you're dealing with that, it becomes very interesting, and it's something that, you know, I'm working for, you know, as the face of my own movement to really bring light to that fact. That, you know, when you turn on the Travel Channel, a lot of times it's a very middle-aged, white, male-oriented, you know, channel. And there isn't somebody in a mass appeal. There's no travel being brought to these people in their language in a way that interests them. And that's one of the things that I think plays a huge part in this. A lot of times when you're dealing with kids and you're dealing with Black youth, you need to talk to them in their vernacular. You know, you need to let them know that there's a commonality that you have between yourself and them that will grab their attention, even if it's jarring in some ways, but it'll reel them in and be like, you know what, this is kind of cool. You know, like, for instance, when I went to Berlin last year and we shot the pilot episode of my web series, like, I camped out for 3 days at Splash Hip Hop Festival and, like, snuck backstage and interviewed Public Enemy. You know, that's something that I can bring to anybody in the Bronx, and these kids would be like, yo, that's dope. Like, how did you do that? And you make me want to travel, and they listen to hip-hop in Germany, you know? Yeah. You have to come to them in a way that really speaks to them and appeals to their lifestyle, and that's very important. You have to really get to them because they can listen to you all day until you're blue in the face, but if you don't give them something that they can latch onto and take with them, it's going to go in one ear and it's going to come right out the other.
Exactly. Definitely true. And so big ups and shout outs. I'm actually on the page right now checking it out.
Cool.
Definitely enticing, something you definitely want to go check out, and that's nomadnesstv.com.
Yes.
NOMADNESSTV.com. Thank you, sis, for coming on and sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, we're going to send exactly some more listeners your way. And, you know, any link-ups you want to do or anything, you want shout-outs, anytime you need to let something be heard, you know, definitely link me on Facebook. My name is Tae Queen, T-A-E-Q-U-E-E-N, and you can just search that, and we can
Perfect.
Link that up. All right, peace, sis. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in.
No problem. And thanks, Derek.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I'm definitely, we're definitely going to link up in New York on March 10th?
Yes, the meetup on March 10th.
I'll be up there. We're going to wrap, so we're going to wrap.
All right. Have a good night, you guys.
Peace. All right, and we do have 27 minutes left in the live stream, so we will be continuing this. You know, probably going to have to get through more of the information on the archives, and the call-in number is 917-932-8881. You can come on and let your voice be heard if that's the deal. We have one more caller, actually, from the 254 area code. Caller from the 254 area code, you are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any questions or comments, and where are you calling from? What is your name?
Hey, what's going on? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, my name is Delu Doctrine. Yeah, I'm from Texas.
Okay.
Okay, and I wanted to call in to make a few comments as far as traveling. I know Derek the International. He know my Facebook page.
Best Facebook page until they try to take it down.
Yeah. I'm telling, especially like black men to travel. That's what I try to preach a lot, because there's a lot of, especially young black men who ain't got the finance to leave their block, who never been anywhere. So mostly what they do know is their area. So in a way, I try to motivate them by using a certain tactics as far as the dating scene. Also, as you know, divorce rate is very high in this country, and this, that, and the third. And, yeah, all I really do, besides music, I do a lot of other things, but I try to promote traveling. And I do talk about a lot of issues within the black community as well. So, yeah. So I just wanted to call in to show some support. And I think y'all have a great show tonight. Very interesting. Definitely in my alley, because I love to talk about traveling.
Well, thank you. Thank you for showing your support.
Appreciate you calling in.
You're welcome.
All right. And definitely don't be a stranger here to Conversations with the Queen, which is held every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We do have another caller. Well, I guess you was right. You was going to bring the callers on tonight.
Hey, I'll do what I can.
Exactly. Caller from the 215 area code, you are live on Conversations with the Queen. Where are you calling from and what is your name?
Hello, am I on?
Yes, you are on.
Okay. I'm Rafia. Hi, Derek. I'm sorry, there's a lot of noise. I just wanted to say that I definitely agree about, you know, the importance of traveling. Very important, I think. Every African-American and everybody should definitely travel. And African-American especially should go to Africa just so, you know, they know where they're from firsthand and they're not, you know, relying on whatever the media wants them to believe, you know, what they are. So it's definitely important for African-Americans to know of their heritage firsthand, to go and experience it and just, you know, and find pride in it, to be proud of who they are. I'm from the Congo in Central Africa, and I've traveled a lot in Africa. I actually live in Cape Verde.
Oh, really? Yes, I did when I was little.
In Benin, in Senegal, in Ivory Coast. And, like, it's just amazing, the diversity in the continent. So when people are like, you know, Africa is, like, one place, one country, one language, like, it's so, every place is different. There's different languages, different cultures in between. So I always say, you know, you really have to go for yourself and experience it.
Exactly.
So I just want to encourage people to go. I'm an artist. I sing, and I actually have a song that I did called Black Jeans Make Our Blue Jeans Tight. And it's about embracing who you are. And there's no way you can know who you are if you don't go to your roots, pretty much. And you don't, you know, do your own, you know, research and try to educate yourself and not rely on, you know, somebody else telling you who you are.
Mm-hmm. Definitely true.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to give out any of your contact information or any way our listeners can check you out, since you said you're an artist, we got to support you.
Sure.
Get that love back.
I'd love to. Thank you. It's Rafia. It's R-A-F-I-Y-A, Rafia Music. In one word, Rafia Music, R-A-F-I-Y-A-M-U-S-I-C. I'm on Facebook, and I also have a Reverb Mission.
All right. Well, thank you, sis, for coming on and sharing your opinion and letting your voice be heard. And like I said, you're always welcome to come back on.
Thank you.
Queen, and, you know, give us a shout out and a holler, and, you know, we can link up and connect too, because, you know,
absolutely.
I'm a little singing thing sometimes too. People don't know that about me, but I sing
about it. Really, this is my first time on the show, and I definitely will be back. This is great. It's great to have conversation
right,
like that.
All right, sis. Thank you. Peace.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Please come back, like you said. All right. See, you just bring everybody all on the show.
Well, I mean,
and I do love
it. That's what we do, though. That's the love and support we give to each other.
Exactly. Now, you know, we have 21 minutes left on the live stream, and if you are listening through the live stream, blogtalkradio.com/poeticenergynetworkstation, I want to invite you to come on over and listen in through the call lines. That's 917-932-8881. And we do have another caller with their hand raised. Caller from the 478 area code. You are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any questions or comments?
This is Alonzo Jordan. Derek knows me.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Wait, who's
there? You there? This is Alonzo.
Oh, what's going on, Brother Alonzo?
What's going on? I told you I was going to listen to your show, and I love it.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, it's no problem, man. I just want to let everybody know that, you know, I've been hearing a lot of people, you know, saying about people don't have the finances. That's bull, man. Quit buying them PlayStation games, man. Quit buying the latest Jordans out there, man. You know, stop all that nonsense, man. Enrich yourself and educate yourself, man. I want to motivate and encourage everybody to do that because I'm not a super rich brother. It's some things I make sacrifices for. You know, I may have to live like a straight convict for a few months, drinking water and ramen noodles, but that's how important my travel is to me, you know. But, you know, you're enriching yourself, and it's a whole lot cheaper than the so-called a lot of educations. I mean, you're getting a different education. It's an investment for yourself. And I also don't want to make traveling a negative thing, but I do want to point out that a lot of people, you have to condition yourself because it's not these palm trees and sipping on daiquiris. Like the kind of traveling I do, and I think a lot of people on the nomadness, like Eva was saying, they actually blend in with the culture. You know, it's not all these palm trees, tourist type stuff, but, you know, actually get into the culture because you see a whole lot of things that you've never experienced in life culturally. Like, I can't speak for Africa because I've never been to Africa, but I am planning on doing it. But a lot of the black countries in Latin America, you know, it's like they've been pre-programmed about their blackness. It's like a lot of times, a lot of them, they'll deny their blackness or, you know, they'll actually look down upon a black that's a lighter shade of them. I mean, a darker shade, I mean. So, you know, just to see that and experience how our ancestors lived like 50 to 60 years ago before civil rights, it's just a culture shock because they don't have civil rights leaders like Malcolm X or Dr. Martin Luther King in these places. So they're still 50 years behind, and they're trying to get now what we've been having for 50 years. You know, they don't have education and all this if they're black, so they're still trying to get this. So I encourage a lot of people to travel and see some of this stuff, and not only see it, but try to make a change in a lot of these places.
Thank you, brother, for sharing that message. Do you have any other questions or comments?
No, I just want to tell y'all to keep doing what y'all are doing and, you know, spread the word out to our youth about travel and try to learn about different cultures around the world. You know, traveling ain't about sitting up on the palm trees with daggers. You know, learn the culture, blend in with the locals, you know.
Exactly.
Stuff like that.
Definitely true. Well, thank you, brother, for calling in. You're always welcome to come back and listen in and chime in.
All right.
Peace. All right, peace. Can I actually chime in on a few points that was made? I know we don't have that much time left, but I just want to touch on
it.
We actually go on to the next segment and turn to talk about my actual business. Brother Alonzo hit on a very important point in terms of basically priority. You know, we have money to buy Jordans and we have money to buy all these video games. But when you talk about, you know, trying to get $200 to get a plane ticket, even if it's just for like spring break or something, everybody wants to, you know, wants to give an excuse or wants to come up empty. But exactly why the type of platform that I'm going to explain in a minute, the type of platform that I have that kind of takes that excuse out of the picture. Because if there's one thing I understand is you got to have money. You do have to have money to travel. You may not have a lot of money, but you do have to have some type of income. And so basically the main thing in which I want to stress, other than just having money to travel, is having that reason to travel, which is why I have a platform in terms of talking about culture tourism. You know, traveling, just to travel, I mean, it's good, especially, you know, you're just going on vacation. You know, you get away, you know, for like 3-4 days because, you're stressed out and whatnot. But I specifically chose culture tourism industry because it's therapeutic. It's actually one of, like, my friend, Dr. Leslie Muhammad. He's a religious scholar, or a scholar on religion, but he is a Muslim. And he basically said that, you know, if your brand and my eye is not therapeutic to your people, then it's really of no use to your people. You know, it's one thing to just be, you know, we can all be Muslims, but the type of Islam that you practice is not therapeutic, then it's not really solving anything. So I choose the cultural tourism industry because it is therapeutic to our people. You know, right now we have, like, some of the highest suicide rates, some of the highest homicide rates. We have some, especially in Philadelphia. I mean, I'd be here for another hour talking about just the problems in Philadelphia alone. But, you know, we have all these mental issues that are not being addressed in our community. So to have a platform that actually is like a sort of like a safe zone to talk about these type of issues and then say, here is a possible solution, because I'm not offering traveling as the overall solution. I'm offering as a platform. So if you go on this type of tour, say, like a Know Thyself Heritage tour to Egypt, you know, with one of the scholars like Ashraf Qazi or like Dr. Renoka Rashidi, or, you know, anybody that's into, like, the
Brother
actual...
Brother Yasir also has one, too, that he implements comedic yoga and meditation, health, and wellness within that as well, so...
Yeah, exactly. So essentially, it is a platform that I want to create that can talk about all these issues, because all we seem to be have been doing in our communities is talk. You know, we can intellectualize all we want, you know. I mean, black intellectuality is traded on Wall Street, as a lot of people like to say. You know, it is like a personality cult, but nobody's actually talking about the real issues. But if I can provide a platform and an organization that actually can, you know, specifically point out different mental issues within our community and say that, you know, if you go on this type of tour, you may have a different experience than everybody else. However, it may begin to break down a lot of those, a lot of that fear that you have about yourself, a lot of that self-hate that you have about yourself, a lot of the lack of self-confidence that you have about yourself. You know, and that's essentially what I want to do, because we've been the people that have been robbed and spoiled for the last 500 years, not even 400 years, really 500 years. So we have a lot of work to do. So being in the travel industry, I understand it's a huge industry. It's growing into a $14 trillion industry. It's actually surpassed, well, documented. It is the highest grossing industry in the world. You know, and internationally it's getting up there as well. But just in the U.S., it's getting up there. As the article that I wanted to talk about, which I don't think I'm going to have enough time to talk about.
No, like I said, we can go into the to the archive, and like I said, to all the listeners who listen on the live stream, if you'd like to catch the last portion of the show, which is going to be in the archive, and you will only have the option to listen on through the call-in, which is 917-932-8881. So get on over to the call-in lines if you'd like to hear the last minutes of the last wrap-up of the show. We do have 13 minutes left in the live stream, so please make sure you do that before we run out of time. But we're going to have time to go through and hit the points that we want to hit, brother. So definitely can say that.
Okay. I just mentioned it because I thought it was very very excellent article. It's actually called Why Black Youth Must Travel, which is why I took the title. It's by Arielle Loren. It was actually an article in Ebony Magazine, and she made a lot of great points. But one of them I want to really touch on is the fact that it says that black youth aren't traveling because the brand of travel is seen as elitist and expensive. The world of the rich is not
it's not fathomable when the local community issues are more pressing. And that's actually very true. So by having this cultural tourism platform that I have through my organization, Mayotte International, we can begin to break down those myths about traveling and also begin to interject a lot of these issues we have within our community, because we have to see, again, we have to see ourselves as a global people. You know, we have what's called an eight-block radius mindset, and you actually mentioned about Bobby Hinnett saying that our lack of exposure to a lot of things is causing a lot of our mental illness. So we can just expose people. I mean, not even saying that they have to go to Africa or they have to go to Brazil or anything like that, but being able to get a passport and then like taking them to the local museum to see the African display of artifacts, like the University of Penn Archaeological Museum probably has one of the best collections of ancient Egyptian artifacts, and that's actually a lot of tours are actually run there, but run by white scholars. So it's not, they're not pressing upon the issues in which we need to talk about. And, that's essentially what I want to do. I want to be able to train travel agents to understand what type of platform we need to create. And I want to train the tour guides to say that, these places are important because they're part of our heritage. And you need to be able to explain it right, because you have a duty by your ancestors, by blood, really, to tell the story and to tell the story right.
Mhm. Exactly. And like you said, sometimes it doesn't even. And like our sister touched on from Nomadness TV, you have to speak to us in the vernacular that we're going to understand it. Like when we go to the museum, we think boring. I don't want to see no old pots. this is a pot from the 17th century. Like nobody cares. You just like, okay, that's great. I don't really care.
Why I gotta know all this, man?
What does that have to do with anything? But I mean, you'll be amazed at the things you'll learn. Like, I took the time out, two summers ago to actually go to the Museum of Fine Arts, like, on a non-mandatory, non-school-sponsored trip. And, they have a great collection as well of Nubian artifacts and things because, you went there. And so, I actually went with my cousin and my best friend, and we went through, and they were like, come on, let's go to the ancient Egyptian, let's go to the ancient Nubian, let's go over here, let's go over there. And I told them I had to bring them over. I had to go, you can go into the ancient Greek, and you can go into the ancient Roman parts of the museum as well. And I showed them the black faces on the pots and things like that. I was like, you ain't know about that, but did you? I was like, but there's black people over here. Took them up to the Asian exhibits. I was like, don't that look like a black person? So, it definitely is, it's a cultural experience we have to implement for ourselves, and we have to teach ourselves about these things. Because, the way they're going to tell it to us, there's a pot over here that's 17,000 years old. And you'll be like, okay, that's great. Yes. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, so I'd like to remind everybody on the queue that we do only have 8 minutes left in the live stream, so if you do want to listen to the remainder of the show, please call in at 917-932-8881, and you'll be able to listen to the remainder of the show. Big ups to everybody who called in and let their voice be heard, but I do definitely want to still get into the remainder of what we're talking about. Don't rush through it, Derek. We definitely want to hit on the points that you have laid out for the presentation of what we're talking about and get into the different aspects and details of everything. You did talk briefly to me beforehand about multiculturalism versus Pan-Africanism. Would you like to get into that or speak about that real quickly?
Yeah, very brief, because me talking about this, I know it's going to offend a lot of people, so I'll keep it very brief. But basically, American multiculturalism is multi-racism. I mean, let's just be for real. I mean, only in countries like westernized countries can you have an Italian restaurant
that's owned by Jews, all Mexican workers, and then have all black people eat at it. I mean, that's essentially Mexican multiculturalism in a nutshell. You know, and my thing is the fact that all these cultures, you know, not to say in their original form, but all these cultures as they are now are pretty much like who we are. I mean, at least in America, because you have a lot of immigrants that, you know, either for, you know, a lack of exposure to different types of people, or just the fact that they have something in their history that we don't know about that had like an ancient feud against, you know, like the darker skinned races that may have been in their lands. But, you know, when I'm in Philadelphia and I walk the streets, you know, for the most part, a lot of Caucasian people, you know, I'm cool with them for some, you know, for like, you know, for some reason. They don't like look at me dirty, or they don't try to you know, send their negative energy vibes, you know, at me and stuff like that. It's mostly a lot of it comes from the foreigners, and I'm really trying to understand why that is. Like I said, rather it's because they have a lack of exposure and they just basically got off the boat, or if it's because a lot of it in their history has something that tells them, because they know their history. I mean, let's be real, they know their history better than we know our own history, and a lot of them know our history better than we know our own history. So we have to begin to understand that, like, the multicultural paradigm in Western society is not an actual multicultural paradigm. I mean, how do you want to say that we're all multiculturalists, but we all force speak English? You know, that doesn't make any sense. Now, why aren't you telling Americans that if you want to be a multiculturalist, why don't you learn to speak, you know, at least five different languages like they do in like European countries? You know, if you want to be a real multiculturalist, you know, why don't you have them read about the different mythologies? Don't just read Greek mythology. Read Egyptian mythology, which actually is the birth of Greek mythology. You know, if you read Stolen Legacy by our brother scholar George G.M. James, R.I.P. to him. But, it's, you know, it's like when you actually understand different cultures about who they are and how they're being marketed, you understand that it's too schizophrenic. And that's why a lot of Americans are schizophrenic, because they have one worldview over here, but then, you know, they try to...
Well, look, real quick, brother, the stream is almost over, so if you do want to keep listening in to what we're talking about and joining on the conversation, the call number is 917-932-8881. You want to get over very quickly if you want to hear the remainder portion of the show. Continue.
Okay. Basically, multiculturalism that we subscribe to is very fragmented, and a lot of it is very racist, because we've learned from different cultures based off of our non-interactive with these different cultures, which is why I, you know, encourage people to actually travel, especially within the cultural tourism industry and paradigm. So when you start to get into studying these different cultures and the history of it, we understand, like I was saying, that we see our people everywhere. I mean, we were, you know, you want to talk about ancient Kemet, you want to, or ancient Egypt, which is a Greek word. You want to talk about the Nile Valley. You want to talk about the Indus Valley. You want to talk about the Sumer civilization. You want to talk about the Olmec civilization. You know, you want to talk about the Moors, the Black Moors, well, just Moors, you know, because I know a lot of Moors like to say black and Moors, not the same, but, you know, same, whatever. You want to talk about the Moors that actually ruled Europe for 700 years before the actual Caucasian came into power. So, I mean, when you understand these type of histories and put it up under the Pan-African Moorish paradigm type of mindset, you understand why a lot of these different people have an animosity towards us. Because at one time, I know a lot of people don't realize it or don't understand the real significance of it, but the black man and the black woman ruled the entire planet. You know, and it's basically like what it is now with white people. You know, even if they are 10% of the population, they still have their cultural morals, their cultural philosophies, you know, the way they do things through capitalism and democracy. They rule the planet basically through their incentive, so to speak. So it's definitely a conflict of interest to actually learn about you know, the Pan African worldview and a multicultural worldview, because a lot of it is just it, it, it's just not you know, it's not compatible. You know, it's only when we start to learn from what it is from the beginning to the end, then we actually understand what it really is. You know, like Dr. Khalid Muhammad likes to say, you know, we have that root knowledge, not the branch knowledge.
Exactly. Wonderfully put. Wonderfully put.
Thanks. Oh, actually, there's another point I wanted to touch on. Being so-called African American, that's two continents. But the point is that, you know, it's not a nationality. But the point is the fact that if you're going to call yourself an African American, you have to be African and American. So the whole point is for you to study your African history, you know, the 54 different nations within Africa, and also study the pre-Columbian history, because we were here before Columbus, you know, as it's shown there with the Olmec and the Maya. You go to Benin Park, Mexico, and you go inside the pyramid, you'll see all black Mayans with turbans. And it's on their pottery, it's in the pyramids. You know, you go to Veracruz in Mexico, you see the Olmec, all throughout Mexico, you see the Olmec statues, you know, big nose, big lips, everything that they tell you that is, you know, so evil and so ugly on black people, you see them in the ancient Mexican civilization. So you have to understand, as being African and being American, we have to study African history, and we have to study American history, especially pre-Columbian American history, because all of us say that we have, you know, so-called Indians in our family, which really just means dark skin, because they were Moors or Africans, whatever you want to call themselves. But the whole point is that they were all our people at one time. And then only when 1492 came and going up to those different points when we start to lose power, that we started to really lose our history because another people going into power. So basically they shifted the mindset and whitewashed everything for their purposes. You know, I mean, we can't really be that upset about that, because that's how, you know, if you're going to conquer a civilization, that's what you're going to do. You know, you're not going to leave all these traces of ancient history for one day, you know, these people are going to wake up and say, wait a minute, this used to be mine. Why are you here? You know, you're going to have to destroy, you know, artifacts. You're going to have to destroy the actual people, or enslave the people if you want to use them for labor. But you're going to have to do all this in order for them to keep their conscience locked down. And right now we are, like, especially as black youth, we have a really solidified consciousness in terms of this 8-block radius mindset. And, you know, it's really the basics of why we don't like to read, or why we don't like to do anything of a cultural experience, because we don't see ourselves in these actual experiences. We live through secondhand experiences. Like, instead of actually participating in a show, we go to a show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of actually enjoying something, we look at other people enjoying something and just say that, you know, because they're happy, I'm supposed to be happy. You know, but you didn't really do anything to be happy. You're just looking at other people. And I said, you know, I always say this all the time on Facebook, is that it's too many people, especially our youth, that live vicariously through the ignorance of other people.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very, very true. That's a great point that you brought up, living vicariously through other people and not actually dealing with the experience of everything and dealing with the firsthand information, which, like the brother Sharif Ali said, that's what the Creator put us here for. That's why we incarnated, to accumulate those experiences. So especially if you're living by somebody else's ignorance, we need to reevaluate what we're doing. Exactly. But I want to really get into my Aunt International, and I want you to break down to the listeners what that is, what you're doing over there, any events you have going on, any projects you want to promote as far as what you're doing, but definitely give the listeners a little bit more insight as to what my Aunt International is, what it does, and what it's about.
Okay, well, I might as well read, like, the official, so people have a better understanding. But basically, My Art International is a global and cultural Africana and Indigenous Studies group club. It's also a youth study abroad program, and it's also a culture tourism
an investment network. Basically, we provide a platform for international opportunities in volunteering, also called volunteerism, internships, labor, investments, and also no-license cultural heritage stores. Now, we have an international platform because we like to, you know, basically expand all of our options. You know, we can focus on a national, which is good, but you have more options if you, like, look to other countries and see what they need as well. And which, if you can facilitate that, then you're in front of the learning curve. What we want to do is help educate students, teachers, mentors, parents, and also life coaches on the importance of combining socially conscious traveling with interactive education and national and international cultural tourism of historical sites, as well as combining culturally conscious concert series, like, you know, such as, you know, the international hip hop concert series, like the I was talking about in Berlin. You know, I've been to a few hip hop concerts in different countries. And also to have an international themed event series and travel showcase. And this can all bring together different parts of community development and also teach wealth building, co-branding, and fundraising all at the same time. So it's a way for sponsors and business people to be able to be involved with the youth or anybody that's a part of the overall travel club to get their brand out internationally, but also be able to say that, you know, through my sponsorship, I'm supporting youth entrepreneurship, and I'm also supporting youth initiatives as well. And I pretty much touched on my mission, which is basically to eliminate the 8-block radius mindset and to redefine the term, what it means to be Black and African American from a global perspective. Our mission is also to create and sustain a community economic development, international relationships, increase cultural pride and awareness through proper education and reading, a boost in self-esteem and self-confidence, and also, and very, very important, to help decrease bullying, teen suicide, and mental health issues, and create that binding tie of friendship and be able to rejuvenate youth involvement, as displayed in the last presidential election, also in the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, as you can see, the brother's dealing with some, you know, real positive vibrations and real positive, you know, endeavors and goals as far as what we have for going on for Ma'at International. Would you like to give any of the people any way that they can link you if they want to get in contact with Ma'at International? How can they get in contact with you and get in touch with you?
Yeah, basically you can get in contact with me on my Facebook page. You can just type in Ma'at, M-A-apostrophe-A-T, International. It should come up as Africana Studies and Events, and in parentheses it'll say presented by Ma'at International. I'm still getting my website done because it's a travel platform that's going to house a lot of these different tour operators and different travel clubs that I want to help facilitate. So just you can contact me through my Facebook page right now. And also my email address is indigochild777@yahoo.com. Indigo, I-N-D-I-G-O, child, 777@yahoo.com.
Yes. No, that's wonderful. So like the brother said, y'all reach out, get in contact, and deal with what y'all dealing with over there. So as far as any types of promotional aspects you want to get out, as far as any projects that Ma'at is doing, anything you want to shout out and make sure our listeners get to really understand and get in tune with?
Yeah, couple of dates. One date I just want to shout out for everybody to keep on their calendar. 10th is actually called Passport Day. It's where you can go to a passport agency and be able to get a passport without an appointment. So as long as you have your application fees and your photos ready, you can actually get your passport. Like as I stated in the beginning, most Americans have a Facebook account and they don't have a passport. About 64% of our citizens don't have an actual passport. And March
17th in Philadelphia. I believe it's at the Crown Plaza. I'm going to be doing a mini, actually, I might do it March 16th. So keep March 16th and March 17th open, because I'm doing a series of fundraisers. So if I do March 16th, which I believe is a Friday, I'll be having a fundraiser at the African American Museum of Philadelphia, where I want to do an official presentation and a fundraiser to help raise funds to do my official business launch, which is actually going to be on May 25th through May 27th. Oh, wait, that's Memorial Day. So it's about May 25th between May 28th. It's actually a youth conference I'm working on called the Flash Mob Program. And what I want to do is be able to provide them a international platform. So so the program actually have a two set initiative, because the Flash Mob Program is actually a very beautiful program that my friends Rashawn Williams and Russell Hicks has started, and they brought me in to kind of help facilitate it. So the youth conference is going to be at the Philadelphia Convention Center on May 26th. I'm not sure the time, because all the details are not solidified yet, but definitely keep that date open. And between May 25th and May 28th, by combining those two conferences, we're going to have a co-conference, which is going to be part of my international business launch. I'll be able to bring in different entertainment from parts of the world, and also from different communities like New York and D.C. and Baltimore and even Atlanta. You know, they can be able to make it. So definitely keep Memorial Day out. And going back to March 17th. March 17th is actually a business that I actually partner with. They have a very unique platform that, you know, most people, if they saw it, probably wouldn't understand it. But they have a very unique networking platform that I'm actually combining my travel club with their platform. So, like I said, it's a greater international reach in terms of training travel club leaders, and in terms of training tour guides and stuff like that. So March 16th is going to be at the African American Museum, probably around 6 o'clock. And also May 17th is going to be at the Crown Plaza, or the Crown Hilton. It's one of those hotels. It's up on Presidential Boulevard. So people that can come from Philly and come from New York, they pretty much know what I'm talking about. But all this information will be put on my Facebook page, and I'm probably going to end up making a Facebook group and even an Eventbrite page. So definitely stay in touch. Trust me on Facebook. Like my Facebook page, hit me up on email, and I can definitely send you all the information. But, you know, very important. The youth conference that I'm working on is definitely going to be awesome. The travel club party that I'm for my official business launch is going to be crazy. Well, I need people to understand this. And this is a tribute to Pan-Africanism and conscious hip-hop, which is why I have to have it during the whole Memorial Day and not just one day. So definitely, if y'all can come out, you know, definitely hit me up, and I'll give you all the details. Probably all the details will probably be solidified no later than, the first week of March. So what's that, like March 3rd or so, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, all the information will probably be done by then. So I'm going to start making invitations and start getting the promotions. And also, too, if anybody really is like what I said in terms of what I want to do with the youth in terms of a global initiative, and even have link up with this travel network, I definitely want people to reach out to me in terms of doing a co-fundraiser. That's one thing I didn't mention, that my travel club actually has a fundraiser program built into it. So anybody that, you know, wants to contact me, definitely contact me about doing a co-fundraiser. And what we can do is, if it's in Philly or New York or even D.C., I can pretty much be flexible in getting down there. But what we can do is that we can use my fundraiser platform. We can definitely split the profits, and that money that I can get will definitely go into making sure this conference happens and we go full force. So definitely reach out to me if you're interested in fundraising.
Of course, definitely reach out to me if you're interested in going to, you know, Ghana or Brazil or Puerto Rico or Toronto or Senegal. You know, anywhere you're trying to go, just let me know, and I can definitely see if I can work it out for you.
Okay. That sounds great. And I will have you I have that all that information also on Conversations with the Queen and the group, also on the fan page when you do get all that information together and when you post it there. So you can also post that in the group and make sure that everybody can get in contact any way that is necessary, even if you need a blast on the website, just let me know. So we're going to make sure that everybody has a way to get in contact with you. Just give out your email one more time so they can get that in case they missed it.
Yeah, it's Indigo Child, I-N-D-I-G-O, Child, 777 at yahoo.com.
Okay.
And, again, the website is on the way. It's a travel portal and a travel travel network, so it's going to take a little time. It takes a lot more time to develop, but it definitely is be on the way. Probably be launched sometime in April, if not sooner. But yeah, it's definitely going to be on the way. And people who are my affiliates, you know, or want to list a trip on there, you know, we definitely can work out some type of collaboration where it doesn't have to cost you money to list anything on the site, but definitely be able to be able to generate more customers and definitely be able to have a platform for fundraisers as well.
Mhm. Exactly. Sounds wonderful. Sounds great. And, you know, we got brothers and sisters in the chat talking about they want to reach out to you, you know, build with you. So it sounds like it's going to be some wonderful things going on and some wonderful things in the works. If you would like to get into a little bit more about that article that you were talking about, Why Black Youth Must Travel, we can definitely get into that for a little bit too.
Okay. Yeah, basically it's a very, very interesting article that was posted on the web, and it was in Ebony Magazine. It's written by Ariel Loren. He's actually part of the Travel Tribe. So I thought this was very interesting because there's also another thing that was in it that was written by another person. Forgive me if I mispronounce your name, but Kenji Summers. He's the founder of the Passport Project. And I thought this was very interesting because it talks about having funding to help young people who don't have a passport be able to create a scholarship program so they can subsidize their passport fees. Because, you know, passport fees have risen within the last couple of years. So it's actually very important to actually anybody that is traveling to have some type of scholarship program for anybody that wants to travel to be able to get those passports and also visas for certain countries they might want to go to. But the article is very well written. I hadn't read all of it. Well, I mean, sometimes I need to read certain things over and over again to really understand it. But it's actually very well written. Makes a lot of very poignant points. And I mean, the main thing is that it talks about just having traveling as a lifestyle on a global scale, and that's essentially what My Eye International is doing and wants to even expand. Because take for example people who are in business. I'm actually part of this business organization called the National Alliance of Market Developers. You know, I'm actually the vice president, and what I want to do is be able to have an international platform where we could connect black businesses from America to Africa or to Brazil or even the Caribbean and be able to do business, you know, on a global scale, rather it's through import-exporting, rather it's just through networking, or rather it's through, a youth initiative in teaching the youth how to start a business. And just really just overall understanding and breaking that mindset that Americans – you know, black Americans and Africans are not that much alike that you have to be in each other's throats to not even, you know, want to do trading with each other. I mean, everybody does business in Africa but us on a majority level. You got the Chinese man over there. You got the Arab over there. You got the European over there. You know, everybody's over there but us. And this is supposed to be our mother continent. So essentially what I want to do is to be able to reach out to these different businesses. I mean, this is just one thing. I know I can't talk about everything. This is the major thing I want to talk about, is that we need to be able to have some type of global distribution network where we can go to different business organizations and different cultural organizations to have some type of annual trip that, you know, engages the youth enough that they want to join these organizations and be able to travel with these organizations overseas. Because, again, traveling is a rite of passage. That's the main thing that people have to understand. Traveling is a rite of passage if you have not done it on a majority level, because it does change your perspective so much that you really can't say that, you know, what you didn't learn didn't change your life to the fact that it either made you a better person or, you know, if you're still working on your character, you know, you had a negative experience. But the whole point is to say that even if you had a negative experience, the fact that you should go back over there and have a different experience.
Yeah. Very true. We do have 4 minutes left on the live stream, so, you know, if you're listening through there and, you know, you're not going to join us on the call, thank you for listening in and being a part of Conversations with the Queen. The calling number, if you're interested in calling in, is 917-932-8881. And, you know, big up to everybody who came through and shouted themselves out, you know, gave love, supported the show, and was so grateful for everybody who did come through and support the show. And if there's any last things that you would like to touch on that you haven't already touched on pertaining to the subject at hand, this is definitely the time to do so.
Yeah, there actually is one more thing. It's not completely together, because everything is going to be released. Everything I'm talking about is going to be in effect in May at the conference. But basically, there is one more thing I wanted to talk about, and that's actually finding a way to engage different types of communities to be involved in traveling. So, like in Philadelphia, I'm very involved within the music, the art, especially the business and the political culture and type of environment. But mainly, the art and the music is very important because a lot of it is being taken out of our schools. So through Maya International and through the Travel Club program, I basically want to be able to create an arts and music initiative where we can, you know, where we can use our music and our art skills to promote traveling, you know, amongst the youth. So have somebody that's like from Trinidad be able to be a model for, you know, for people who want to go to Trinidad, you know, but she's from like Miami or she's from like New York or something like that. So and also being able to have an international music platform where we can take local artists and also be able to send them to another country to do like a concert. So because I found out that a lot of people who are like on the underground here are actually very big in other countries. Like one of my favorite rappers is the Immortal Technique. Like he's big all over the world, but hardly anybody know about him, you know, here in the States because he's not mainstream. So.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's actually for people that listen, it's actually a very, very, very important series that you need to watch on YouTube. You just go into YouTube.com and type in Blacks Go to Africa and Make Millions. You know, I probably should have mentioned that a little earlier before, but I just realized it basically talks about everything that I talked about people starting on the underground, going to different countries and basically, you know, blowing up because, you know, their music is appreciated, people reconnecting with their ancestry and understanding that everything that they was told in America about who they are, you know, is basically a lie. So it's a very important YouTube series that you need to check out. So
what's it called again?
It's called, type into YouTube, Blacks Go to Africa and Make Millions. So I think that's pretty much easy to remember.
Okay.
So, yeah, definitely hit me up if y'all trying to do some co-fundraising or if you want to be able to have me come do a presentation. But pretty much everything that I'm talking about will be released at the conference in May 25th through May 28th on Memorial Day at the Philadelphia Convention Center. The youth program will be, for the Flash Mile program, will be May 26th. So we're definitely going to have a co-conference on that part. And, I mean, that's
pretty much it. I mean, I could talk about the conference a little more, but that's pretty much it what I want to talk about.
Well, we have 10 seconds left on the stream, so I'd like to thank everybody who called in and made their voice heard, or everybody who was listening in on the live stream. Everything was wonderful that you talked about. I think you did a great job covering everything. I feel like this was a wonderfully productive show, and, you know, definitely some great things are going to come out of this. So... it's up to you if you have any last remarks on anything.
Okay. One last point. There's been a lot of scholars that have tried to teach us the truth in their own different way. You got Malcolm X. You got Marcus Garvey. You got Noble Drew Ali. You got the Black Panthers. You know, you got you know, you got all these different styles. Oh, W.E.B. Du Bois, whose symposium I was just at the other day. The main thing about them is the fact that, you know, they may have had a different way of teaching us, and some of it we may not agree. But the main thing in which they taught, or what was shown through their life, is that they all traveled, especially to Africa. So we, as African Americans, who say that we love these people and we follow their scholarship and their philosophy. Even Dr. Martin Luther King went to Africa. So that's the main point that we need to understand, and that we need to promote, especially to the youth out today, that if you're going to idolize a lot of these scholars, especially from an intellectual perspective, you have to also understand them from a global perspective, that they all traveled, they all have an international education, so to speak, and they all went to Africa.
Yeah. Very great point to bring up and very great point to make. So I think the sum of the show is travel. Get some experience under your belt. Get some firsthand experience, and don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. And there's plenty of platforms and brothers and sisters who's doing their thing out there that's willing to help us understand what it's about to travel and expose us to it. And, you know, the platforms are out there, and they're definitely, if they're not already out there, they're being formulated right now. So, you know, great show. I'm so grateful that I had you on, and thank you for coming on and sharing all this wealth of information and knowledge, and sharing your time, and just being a bright and great spirit that you are.
I appreciate it. Thank you for being such a gracious host, Queen.
Of course, of course. And you've been listening in to Conversations with the Queen, which comes on every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The call number is always 917-932-8881. And pretty much it's been brought to you by the Poetic Energy Network station. You can catch a plethora of beautifully informative shows throughout the week. Please come back tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Here's to Your Health with Dr. Dee Morton. She's a naturopathic doctor. She puts it down. So thank you for everybody who listened, and thank you for everybody who participated. And thank you again, Brother Derek. You were a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guest.
Appreciate it. Peace,
and assalamu alaikum, everybody. Peace. All right, so we are going to take it out with a little bit of Kindred, Family Spirit. Hold up, let me, if I got to find it first. I'm just getting so caught up with everything and having such a great show. Kindred, the Family Soul, Far Away. So we're going to take it out with that. And with that, I do say peace and blessings and bid you all adieu. Peace.
Tired of broken street glass, not getting no. Back and get